Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here, not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us today a Mr. John Hinckley, and he's put together a fascinating video on the assassination or the murder of President Kennedy. And a lot of people say, well, that was a long time ago. Why are we concerned? And I think the reason we have to be concerned is because the government concealed the truth about the coup d'etat that took place at that time. Much of the information about the murder of the American president is still classified. Just as much of the information about what happened at Pearl Harbor is classified, just as much and most of the information about what happened on 9-1-1 is classified in the name of national security, because we don't want the Japanese, or we don't want Fidel Castro, or we don't want Osama bin Laden to know what happened on those occasions, and what we knew about, of course, their activities. John, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself?
I teach high school and junior high in Los Angeles for LA Unified School District. I teach history and English. I'm not sure how much more anybody wants to know. When I was, 32 years ago, when I was 20 years old, somebody showed me a copy of the Zapruder film. And up until that time, I had accepted everything that was handed to me, and Abraham Zapruder was standing on near the grassy knoll in Dallas when the president's limousine came by, and he took film that was very, very obvious to me at 20 years old and with not a whole lot of experience, showed that this shot that killed him came from the front, and that it blew out the contents of his head across the back of the limousine. And in fact, you can see that Jackie Kennedy is scrambling to recover parts of his skull from the back of the limousine. I know that as a child, I always wondered why she crawled out the limousine. We all thought she was crazy. In fact, she carried a piece of the skull to the hospital and handed it to the doctors there.
And, of course, the American people really don't understand that. But, of course, if he had really been hit by a bullet from behind, fired from the Texas book depository by the wicked Lee Harvey Oswald, why, of course, there wouldn't have been a piece of bone blown out of the back of his head. There would have been blown out of the front of his head.
Well, I think it's a really important point. They've done any number of different surveys, and as much as 80% of the American people don't believe the government version of events, which is, I mean, to me, it's astounding that given that there was no internet at that time, and given that there was, an absolutely complete blackout of any information of the true details of what occurred, it's an astonishing piece of intuition on the part of the American people, I think, to have been able to determine that the government was lying to them.
Well, of course, there's been a lot of efforts through the years and a lot of books written and a lot of efforts. I think the film JFK by Oliver Stone really, I think, was a wake-up call to an awful lot of people. And, of course, everybody attacks Oliver Stone because he's a liberal, and they attack Oliver Stone because, after all, why Garrison was discredited. But all of this really is basically a cover-up because they do not want the people to realize that most of what Oliver Stone had in that video and that motion picture was absolutely true.
And I spent 10 years investigating it, and I'm just astounded. Stuff that I assumed that he had just made up in order to make the story go along.
Hold that thought for just a moment.
Certainly.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. John Hinckley. He's a school teacher in Southern California, but he's put together a wonderful video on the murder of JFK. And he's got a lot of great footage there, a lot of interviews with people you've never seen before, a number of experts who pointed out that, of course, the bullet wound had to come from the right front to blow out the back of his head. And that is where the major lesion was. The major lesion was not of the point of entry. It was the point of exit. And, of course, this is what killed President Kennedy. But then if that indeed is true, then everything we've been told about what happened that day and the magic bullet is a lie, a very clever lie. And what's really so frightening is they were able at least temporarily to sell it to the American people with a coordinated effort by the CIA and the FBI and the mass media and the people in positions of power in government and the leadership of both political parties. They were all involved, weren't they?
The leadership of both political parties?
Right.
Certainly, they were all complicit in the cover-up.
Right. Don't you think that Richard Nixon really knew what happened that day?
Do you mind if I'd like to make an opening statement.
You go right ahead.
All right. Well, very good. Because it's really easy to get completely bogged down in the details, right? There's so much information. There's, I think, 28 volumes of the Warren Commission, and God knows how many books have been written on the topic. But, you know, I've been studying this for 40 years. I was a hardcore A student when I was in school, and history was my favorite subject. And as I said, when I was 20 years old, I found out that everything I had been studying so carefully for the previous 20 years had been a lie, and that I had to go back and redo this. But, and the evidence that I've put together has only been available in, like,
I think we've, unfortunately, we've lost our guest. Would somebody please call him back again? We lost Mr. Hinckley. So if you wouldn't mind getting Mr. Hinckley back on the line for us, we'll continue with this. So our guest today has been John Hinckley. And, of course, John has been studying what happened there on the 22nd of November, 1963, for a good many years. So if you would... bear with us while we'll get him back again, but I think it's important you understand they were able to cover up the truth about what happened on September 7th, 1941. They were able to cover up the truth about what happened on November 22nd, 1963. If they have that degree of power, what makes you think that they would not be covering up what happened on September 11th? Really, what's very interesting, a recent Zogby poll suggested that almost 50% of the people in the city of New York believe that high government officials knew the attack was coming and allowed it to happen. We'll be back here in just a moment with John Hinckley. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. I guess it's John Hinckley. John, yes, please go ahead go ahead with your opening statement.
Okay, well, thanks. My point is that, I really got into this hot and heavy 4 years ago when John Kennedy Jr. was murdered. You'll pardon my saying so. But anyway, and so all of this 2 years ago when I sat down to put the finishing touches on this, I really asked myself, well, you know, is the evidence that powerful that you put together? And as I assembled it, it seems to me that the name of the video is JFK to the Bush Connection. The argument that I make is that the evidence is beyond a reasonable doubt that George Herbert Walker Bush, the president's father, was a supervisor at a high level of the assassination. But I've only had a limited amount of time to stew on that and think about the significance of it and to discuss it with other people and, you know, interact that way. And it's only really very lately that something has sort of hit me like a shot, which is that, in two words, John Kennedy was killed by American Nazis. And let me explain that just a little bit. If you get any recent book on Hitler, you will find out that they have opened up the Nazi archives and they've discovered that Hitler was a stooge, that he was a creation, that he was a front for, was in fact a corporate dictatorship that was led by the German military-industrial complex. I could interject right now and say that Prescott Bush, the president's grandfather, was one of their key representatives in the United States. But really, the Bushes are just thugs for the major league American Nazis, that is, the Rockefellers and the Harrimans and the Fords. There was a book out recently called IBM and the Holocaust, indicating the very, very fundamental role and enabling role that IBM played in the Holocaust. And that got a considerable amount of play. Something, however, that people are very much less familiar with is the fact that Standard Oil, in addition to contributing millions of dollars to the Nazi political campaign and to the SS, in 1940, I suppose, around between 40 and 42, they developed a formula for converting coal into gasoline. Now, the Germans don't have any gasoline. They have lots and lots of coal, but you can't make a war unless you have gasoline. And the Germans were very anxious to get their hands on this formula. The Defense Department in this country said, no, we won't let you do it. We're going to declare this a secret We're going to classify it, but the State Department and the Rockefeller representatives in the State Department were able to intervene, and the Rockefellers not only gave the Nazis the formula, they built a factory for them to produce it at Auschwitz. That's just the beginning. They also developed a formula for synthetic rubber. Now, the United States needed rubber. The United States doesn't have rubber trees, and the Germans as well. We're very, very desperate and desperately trying to develop a formula for synthetic rubber. Standard Oil found a formula, I think it was nylon, and they not only gave it to the Germans secretly, they didn't give it to the United States government. They gave it to the Germans and they withheld it from the United States government. This is one of the things that Harry Truman became famous for, was his grilling of, I think the guy's name was Robert Farish. His name was Farish. He's the chairman of Standard Oil. And he was threatening him with prison unless he came clean about the details of all of this stuff. Farish went home and died before he could implicate the Rockefellers. Well, you can believe he died if you care to. In any case, Prescott Bush, the president's grandfather, was a leader of these American Nazis. These guys did not lose World War II. World War II and their movement did not end because Hitler died. These guys never surrendered. The Rockefellers and the Harrimans and the Fords and the DuPonts are the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower tried to warn us about at the end of his term, and these are the people who killed Kennedy. The current President Bush is a blatant, flagrant, in-your-face representative of this sort of corporate dictatorship. The government has been utterly taken over by all of the, what do you call those guys that go down to the Capitol and buy our representatives? The lobbyists, the chief lobbyists for all of the worst industries have been put in charge of the regulatory commissions that are supposed to be regulating them and keeping them in control. The foxes have been utterly put in charge of the hen house. The point of all of this, I think, the crux of all of this information that I've put together about the Kennedy assassination and the lesson that we need to learn from it, is that these guys are capable of anything, and that when you look at the evidence on September 11th, of course you have to evaluate the evidence, and I don't hope to go into any of that today, but you can never hesitate to go down that logical path that the evidence is taking you, because you think, oh, the president could never do that. One of the things that this video shows very clearly is that treachery and massive slaughter and the betrayal of every American democratic principle has been the bread and butter that George W. Bush was raised on since he was an infant by his father, George Herbert Walker Bush.
Well, of course, what you can tie this certainly into George Herbert Walker Bush, at one time the head of the American CIA, long-term CIA agent, and of course you point out very well that he was involved with the Bay of Pigs fiasco. In fact, they renamed one of the ships there the Barbara, and that was known as Operation Zapata. And of course, George W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, had the Zapata Oil Company. Is there any written evidence that George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, was involved with the CIA at that time? We know he was the director of the CIA, certainly in 1976, as I remember.
Well, let me do two things. Let me give out my website.
All right, fine.
It's jfkii.com. Let me just put the whole plug in now, if you don't mind.
No, you go right ahead.
And just tell people that they can get it for $10, which is, I think, an outrageous bargain, and you can get... We're not recouping the money that we invested in this thing, much less making any, but we were anxious for people to get it out. For $5, you can get additional copies. There's a copyright thing at the front that says, this belongs to you and to the American people, and please feel free to make copies of it.
Now, is that the video or is that the DVD?
The videos are actually $15. The DVDs are $5. Let me give my phone number while I'm
ahead. Go ahead.
310. Don't call me right now because I'm on this phone. 310-301-7712, and again, it's jfkii.com. Let me just go over the evidence from start to finish. I think I can cover in about 5 minutes.
All right, you go ahead.
Okay, good. The really, you know, lots and lots and lots, thousands of honest civilians have been investigating this thing since the first minutes after the Kennedy assassination, and the first really, really big break, I think, in figuring out who did it, other than the general suspicion that it was the CIA and the general knowledge that, looking at the events, it had to have involved people at the highest levels of the government.
But, of course, this FBI had to be involved, too. Or they could have blown the whistle on that if J. Edgar Hoover hadn't been involved.
Certainly, elements of the FBI had to have been involved. And I think that you, it's correct to say that, well, I don't know. It may be somewhat speculative to suggest that Hoover absolutely knew, but in any case, I think it's very, very likely that he knew. And God knows what he did with that information. He may have told the Secret Service, right? But the Secret Service was absolutely and very, very, very obviously involved.
Now, but why don't you explain to our listeners why the Secret Service was involved, what they should have been doing and what they weren't doing to protect the president as he moved into Dealey Plaza?
Well, okay. The video has some footage of Fletcher Prouty, Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the number two guy at the Pentagon as a liaison with the CIA, but he was also worked with the Secret Service coordinating the Army with the Secret Service. That is to say that when the President goes into an area where, you know, there's a large responsibility, there are units of the Army that will normally take up the slack and assist the Secret Service in providing protection for the President.
In other words, when he's going into a community, they would ordinarily have the Army there to supplement the Secret Service to protect the President.
Thank you. And they would get there months in advance. And he points out that according to the regulations, whenever the limousine slows to less than 40 miles an hour, they are supposed to know months in advance and have studied this months in advance and have hundreds of agents on the scene to make sure that there are no open windows. And all of the photographs show that as the limousine was slowing to make the turn onto Elm Street, that there are lots of windows open all over the place. In fact, not only did they tell the Army to stand down, and Prouty is able to give testimony on that particular point. He called the various Army people whom he knew well anyway and said that they had been directly told to stand down, that they were not welcome in Dallas, much less being asked to be there. There were no Secret Service agents on duty that day in Dealey Plaza where there should have been 100. And what Prouty explains is that in that situation, if a window had gone up, somebody would have immediately gone to that room. Somebody would have been on the radio, the first person to spot it, radioed to the various agents in the building, and somebody would have immediately run to that floor and to that window and shut it seconds after it went up. In addition to which, one of the really startling pieces of footage that I was able to include is this Secret Service agent. There's a zoom in, and you get to see that there were handles on the back of the limousine. There were supposed to be Secret Service agents riding on the back of the limousine, and one of these agents is told to get down and move away, and he stands there holding his hands up in the air, looking at his supervisor, saying, "What's going on? What are you doing? How can you possibly be..." Possible for somebody to steal the body from the Secret Service who had stolen it from the Dallas coroner and alter the wounds. This is, to me, the very, very clear evidence that there were, at the very highest levels, people involved in the government in the assassination. But we'll let it go there and we'll come back. Yeah.
All right, fine. And the thing that I actually talked to Dr. Crenshaw, who was there at the hospital at the time. It was a different, even a different casket that arrived at the Bethesda Naval Hospital that day. A lot of strain. The wounds had all been altered by the time he got there. How did it happen? We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dunnigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Roseto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest, John Hankey, and would you like to put out the name of your videos? My producer wants to know the name of the video.
It's JFK2, The Bush Connection.
JFK2, The Bush Connection. And get out your telephone number once more and your website so people can order that.
The website is JFK2, JFKII, Roman numeral 2, no space, .com. And the telephone number is 310-301-7712.
All right, fine. So you were basically talking about the background of the attack. So why don't you pick up the story there?
Sure. What I wanted to do is plug in the bushes. The the video, I assume that the people who are watching the video don't know anything. And so we do present the evidence that it was a conspiracy. We present the evidence that shows that it had to have been a conspiracy involving the most powerful people in the country.
I think, you know, your description of the magic bullet really is amazing. Even showing this magic bullet, when I personally talked to Dr. Crenshaw, he described all the metallic particles in Governor Connally's right wrist and his left thigh, and then this bullet reconstitutes itself miraculously and looks like it was pristine, like it had just been shot into a wad of cotton.
Well, it's I mean, the people are calling the phone number. They need to wait. Anyway, let's get into it. The first big break of all of these thousands of people who were interested who would kill the president was when, during Watergate, of all things, the Watergate burglars were led by a guy named E. Howard Hunt. And while E. Howard Hunt was sitting in jail, he told the Washington Post that he and his team were assassins. And when he said that, people, right, everybody who knew that the CIA had murdered Kennedy but were unable to name even a single CIA agent, suddenly were able to name not only CIA agents but CIA assassins. And so this really got the ball rolling. A couple of years later, there was a House Committee on assassinations, and they were working with William Colby, the head of the CIA at the time, who apparently released to them a memo from Richard Helms to his head of the CIA, to his chief assistant, Jesus Angleton, in which they were discussing the fact that Hunt was in Dallas, that he was involved in the assassination. They thought that this was going to come out, that the committee was going to bring this out, and what should they do about it. They fired Colby. They brought in Bush as the head of the CIA, and Bush started prosecuting anybody who had anything to do with the investigation of, among the senators. They shut down the investigation. So one of the committee staff leaked the memo to Spotlight Magazine. Spotlight Magazine printed it along with a story about Hunt's involvement. Hunt sued Spotlight Magazine, and he lost.
Yeah, but I think it's so important that the people understand that the jury felt that he was involved with the assassination, that the CIA was involved. And that Mark Lane wrote a wonderful book called Plausible Denial, which I think is a book every American should read. A jury heard all the facts. It was brought out under sworn testimony, even about the Cuban team that was going there. I knew one of the fellows on that team, and I had a chance. He stayed in my house many years ago. And, you know, the thing was that this was all brought out and totally blocked out by the media. That was the most amazing thing. I'd never heard of that trial until, of course, I read Mark Lane's book. How you could hold a trial where all of the facts were brought out and the jury said, yeah, Hunt was involved, the CIA official was involved in the assassination of President Kennedy, and not one major newspaper carried the story?
Of course, it's not newsworthy. Nobody cares about the Kennedy assassination. Right, well, obvious that's certainly not the case. Right, 40 years later, people are still, you know, tuned in to watch the garbage that they have on the History Channel and on CBS and so on. CNN had a really horrible program a couple of weeks ago.
They're still lying. They can't let the American people know that the highest people at the highest levels of our government were involved, and certainly the CIA was involved in the murder of an American president.
Well, I think it's delightful that people like Peter Jennings stand up and say, look at me, look at what a complete and utter liar I am in front of everybody, so that when he also reports the news, that they can understand who it is that they're getting the news from. I just think it's great that these guys are still beating this thing, but you have to ask the question, why 40 years later, who are they protecting 40 years later? Well, you know that there must be some powerful people around who were involved, who are still around, that for them to be continue to be protecting them, which I think brings us to George Herbert Walker Bush. Do I hear music playing?
You hear music playing,
okay,
right.
Okay, well, so we'll come back to this in a second, yes?
If I be back to it in just a second, I think that it's so important that we understand that they had a special House Select Committee, and they came up with the conclusion that there were four bullets fired, not three, and of course their experts said that one of the bullets came from the front, and not one word of that came out in the controlled media. Why? Because, of course, if they would lie to us about the assassination of an American president, what else would they lie to us about? And can you really trust officials who would cover up something like that for 40 long years? We'll be back in just a moment here.
We've been trusting him for 40 long years. It's a shame.
Our four tape set on the JFK assassination. It includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention the Big Berkey and the Berkey Life water filters. They're wonderful as far as taking the impurities, the herbicides and pesticides out of your water. But they'll also, of course, take the bacteria and the cryptosporidium and all those things you don't want in your drinking water. But, of course, if you are in an area where there's fluoride or arsenic or lead or MTB in your drinking water, you can get those off with the special pulse filters. There's nothing does as good a job as either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. Now, the Big Berkey is not available in California. The Berkey Light is. It's only $199 plus $10 shipping. If you want to get out the fluoride, and if you're in a fluoridated area, get the fluoride out because it is, well, look on your toothpaste. It's a deadly poison, so why are they putting it in your water? If you care for your children, if you care for your family, you need a Big Berkey or a Berkey Light, and you need to get the post filters. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our special guest this afternoon is John Hanke. He's talking about his video having to do with JFK 2 and the Bush connection. And it is Mr. Hanke's contention that the Bushes were involved with the assassination. Or would you say they were involved with the assassination or the cover-up of the assassination?
They supervised the planning, the execution and the cover-up of the assassination.
Now, can you prove that? Certainly, I have no question at all that there was a conspiracy behind the assassination of the president, and it had to involve people at the highest levels of government. But what was George Bush doing in 1962?
Well, we had just left off with the point that E. Howard Hunt,
all right,
the head of the Watergate burglars, was essentially convicted. He was found guilty by a jury during a slander trial. They found that he was guilty of the assassination of the president and that he had therefore not been slandered by Spotlight magazine. Hunt, at the end of World War II, worked out of the same office as Prescott Bush, the president's grandfather, George Herbert Walker Bush's father. Hunt, when he was sitting in jail demanding hush money from Nixon, got paid by a man named Mossbaker, who was George Herbert Walker Bush's main financial aide, his main money raiser, his main contributor. The checks that Hunt received were written by a money launderer named Ramon Milian Rodriguez, who has been tied to George Bush. On the video, you get to hear Rodriguez name Bush as being a person with whom he is familiar and to whom he is loyal and with whom he has worked in the past.
Well, now, of course, what happened to that $1 million? Didn't somehow Mrs. Hunt get that money and she was in a plane and went down? What was all the details?
I don't know. I don't even want to go there.
Okay.
I don't want to lose this thread.
All right. Fine. You stay with this. Go ahead.
The point is that, the most important connection between George Herbert Walker Bush and the assassination is his connection with Hunt and the rest of the Cuban burglars at the Watergate burglars. These guys were all members of an assassination squad which was called Operation 40. They were all veterans of the Bay of Pigs. They were all what you could call and should call, I think, misguided anti-Castro Cubans. Well, it turns out that J. Edgar Hoover, the chief law enforcement officer and one of the most successful law enforcement people in the history of the world, I suppose, 5 days after the assassination, Hoover wrote a memo. The title of the memo was Assassination of John Kennedy. When you read that memo, there's nothing in it about the assassination of John Kennedy. It is, however, a memo about misguided anti-Castro Cubans. It's very clear that 5 days after the assassination, Hoover knew what the jury saw in the Hunt trial, which is that Hunt and these misguided Cubans that he was a supervisor of were involved in the Kennedy assassination. However, Hoover's memo doesn't mention Hunt as a supervisor of the misguided anti-Castro Cubans. It does, however, name George Bush as a member of the CIA and as a supervisor of these people. Now,
and you actually have that that memo.
Yes.
All right, Kyle. I think that's fascinating.
Bush was confronted with this memo when he was running for re-election, and it may have had something to do with his losing. Anyway, they said, you know, what about this memo that says you were in the CIA when you ran for Senate, and when you ran for Senate, and when you went to work at the White House? You never told anybody that you were a member of the CIA when you were doing all of those things. And Bush says, oh, no, that wasn't me. And they said, well, you became CIA director out of the blue with no intelligence background. And he said, oh, yeah, that's just a coincidence. But it turns out that there's an enormous amount of corroboration for what Hoover says, right? Hoover says he was supervising anti-Castro Cubans. He says he was in the CIA. When Bush was at Yale, he was in Skull and Bones. He was when you're in Skull and Bones, this is a very, very weird fraternity. The members are extremely close. They refer to each other as brothers under the skin. Well, George Herbert Walker Bush's brother under the skin was the son of hiring for CIA. That's a very large coincidence, but that's nothing. He left Skull and Bones and went to work for a man named Neil Mallon, who was identified in a letter by Bush's father as a recruiter for CIA. So he leaves being a brother under the skin to the son of hiring for CIA, and he goes to work for a recruiter for CIA. He works for this guy until 1959 when he leaves and founds a company called Zapata Offshore. 1959 is the year that the CIA began planning the Bay of Pigs invasion. He found Zapata Offshore and goes to work in the area where the CIA was working, preparing for the Bay of Pigs invasion. The secret code word for the Bay of Pigs invasion was Operation Zapata. And on and on and on. I mean, it's just piled high and deep. There's a ton of evidence connecting Bush to these operations, which indicate that he was, therefore, a supervisor of E. Howard Hunt and a supervisor of the rest of these misguided anti-Castro Cubans. He supervised them at the Bay of Pigs, he supervised them during Watergate, and he supervised them during the Kennedy assassination. The icing on the cake is that Bush, on the day of the assassination, called the FBI and told them that he was not offshore, off the coast of Cuba where his operations were. He was not in Houston where the American base of the company was. He wasn't at home in Midland, Texas. He told them that he was in Dallas on the day of the assassination.
Now, where is that? Is that in the Warren Commission or what?
Well, I have the memo. It's in
okay,
the video.
Okay, fine. If you got the video, you got the memo. That's all you need.
I believe I got it out of the Warren Commission documents, but I may have gotten it someplace else. In any case, it's given some fairly wide publicity. I don't think it's never been challenged as being anything but accurate. And in addition, right, and as I mentioned, the Hoover memo was never challenged as being anything but authentic. And Bush said, "Well, geez, it must be another George Bush."
Well, I have a very close friend of mine who's done a lot of research on this. Actually, has a letter from George Bush saying he had known George Dormornschild, who was Lee Harvey Oswald's handler, for 20 years at the time or more, going back into the 1950s. So there you can begin to see all these little pieces tying together.
Sure. When Dormornschild was murdered, the day before he was to be interviewed by the Senate Committee on Assassinations, in his pocket, on his dead body, was his address book, and in his address book is the name George Herbert Walker Bush. It has his address in Midland, Texas. It has the name Zapata Oil Company. Of course, these guys were connected, and as you point out, DeMorenschild was a millionaire who, on several occasions, is documented as associating with Lee Harvey Oswald because, as we all know, millionaires and minimum wage clerks, school book depository clerks, are notorious for keeping company with each other.
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I don't know. That pretty much wraps it up. Let me say jfkii.com.
All right, jfkii.com. Let's go to Daryl, who's calling in from Pennsylvania. Hi, Daryl. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan and John, and I have two questions for John. I'll ask them one at a time.
Okay.
And he had mentioned the Secret Service agent that was pulled off the back and protested strongly, and I had heard that some of the Secret Service guys, like James Rowley, who was the chief, Clint Hill, Roy Kellerman, and William Greer, who was the driver of the limousine, were all involved in one way with the assassination. My first question is I had read or heard somewhere that William Greer, the driver, died suddenly within 3 weeks after the assassination. Do you know anything about that, either of you?
I am inclined to doubt that because he testified in front of the Warren Commission.
All right,
okay.
That should solve the problem. Anything else, Daryl?
The second question was...
Well, hang on, let me add that I just got... It's really great being on the radio and getting to hear from all these people. I understand that Greer, before he worked for the Secret Service, worked for the Forbes family, which is where Kerry comes from.
Okay, and what's your second question?
And the second question is, did any of the Secret Service agents ever come forward and admit to anybody that the Secret Service had any involvement in the assassination?
Different Secret Service agents have come forward and said different things at different times. I think most of them have been pretty responsible about saying, for example, there was, if I'm not mistaken, one of them who was riding behind discussed how they were all pressured and told to lie about the direction of the shots, right? They all thought that there were shots from in front and behind. And, you know, geez, I've gone through such a ton of stuff, but there, one of the agents did discuss with somebody that it managed to get into print. One of the Secret Service agents as well, I mean, it's a really, really critical piece of information, was present at the autopsy and said in his report that he filed the next, or the, I guess that evening very likely, that it was clear that that there had been surgery to Kennedy's head.
In other words, somebody, sometime between the time he left Parkland Hospital in Dallas and the time he arrived at Bethesda, they had actually altered the body. They had done a surgical procedure to close the bullet wound in the front of the head. Is that right?
No, they opened it up.
They did.
They tried to make it look... Well, I mean, it's really... It
looks like
typical
a surgery.
Of the incompetence of this administration, the incompetence with which whoever it was attempted to take the entrance wound on Kennedy's right temple and open it up so that it supposedly looked like a exit wound. Well, it doesn't look at all like an exit wound, but it does very clearly look like some Boy Scout got out his pocket knife and has been carving on the president's head, which is, you know, just enormously incriminating, because who is going to have access to the president's body between the time that it's stolen from the Dallas coroner and it arrives for an autopsy?
All right. Anything else, Daryl?
Yeah. One final thing, Dr. Stan. Before you go off the program here, would you let folks know how to get your Kennedy special? Because you have so much great information on the Kennedy assassination. And thank you, and God bless you both.
Thank you so much. Okay, right. That was Daryl calling from Pennsylvania. And our guest today is John Hankey, and we're talking about his video, JFK 2, or II, the Bush Connection. And, of course, it's a fascinating video. We watched it last night, and there are parts of that are actually taken from Oliver Stone's film on JFK. And, of course, there's one beautiful scene there where Kevin Costner, playing the part of Jim Garrison, says, look, you're trying to tell me this was the Mafia? How could the Mafia have stolen the president's body and changed it from the time it left Parkland Hospital till the time it got to Bethesda? How could the Mafia have covered up all of this information and changed all the government reports and suppressed all the information? There's no way the Mafia could have done this. This had to be a government operation. His arguments are really very, very convincing, don't you think?
Well, certainly. I'd like to make a point there, however, which is that the government could not make the entire news media lay down and die as they did on September 11th and as they did on November 22nd. That we're talking about a conspiracy that not only involves the government, but that absolutely involves the people who control the government, right? It wasn't just ambitious individuals inside the government, but as I said in the opening statement that it's the Rockefellers and the DuPonts and the Morgans and the, you know, the list goes on and on. And really the Bushes are just the smallest sort of hired thugs for that group of individuals. I could give one example. I mentioned how Prescott Bush got exposed as being a Nazi in 1942 because he was the chief executive officer of this Nazi bank. He owned one share. Averell Harriman owned 399 shares. So as we're developing our rogues gallery of the villains who are responsible for this madness, we need to understand that the Bushes are very small time thugs. They represent 1/4,000th the wealth of the individuals from whom they are taking orders.
And of course Averell Harriman just by chance happened to come from Skull and Bones as well.
Right.
And so you begin to see how this whole network of I call it the Brotherhood of Darkness, or call it the military-industrial complex, or call it the power elite, or call it the ruling oligarchy, or call it America's unelected rulers, call it whatever you will, there is a force that rules our country, controls the media, controls both political parties, and really effectively determines what the American people hear, read, see, and ultimately what they believe. Well, now, what sort of response are you getting, John, as you go around the country talking about your film?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question, because it's one of the things I wanted to make sure that I talked about, which is that one of the things that has really been a thrill for me is the response of Republican Bush supporters to this movie. And they have been really, really, really positive and favorable and supportive and great, you know, right? They have thanked me for making this and have said, well, gee, you know, just because the father didn't do it, just because the father did it doesn't mean that the son is likewise villainous. And, you know, you have to say, well, that's true, but I think that in terms of people being willing to open their eyes and look at the events of September 11th, that this really gives them a floor to stand on, because the evidence, as I mentioned, indicating Bush's involvement is just so overwhelming. The evidence of the conspiracy and the power of the individuals involved in this conspiracy is just so overwhelming that it gives them a place to stand on in order to try to pry their own minds open in order to allow themselves to encompass as monstrous and horrible a story as we are confronted with when we look at for example, an airplane going 350 miles an hour and, you know, 150 feet long, being able to penetrate Pentagon airspace, which has been designed to fend off attacks by missiles going Mach 5, which is, I've done the math right, 20 times the speed of this airplane, and that are, you know, 1/100th the size of the airplane. They have defenses in place that are supposed to repel such attacks, but they couldn't manage to repel this lumbering giant coming in that, according to their scenario, did a 280-degree turn just to, you know, give them lots and lots and lots of warning. Here we are. We're not only here, but we're going to circle around once before we do anything.
And I think what's so important for our listeners to understand is there is an active, there always has been a very, very sophisticated missile defense for the Pentagon to defend probably one of the most important buildings on our entire nation. So how come that one morning, that one very special morning in September, why all of the missile defenses were inactivated, and why doesn't anybody ever ask that question? Why weren't those missile defenses activated when they knew a plane was coming in?
Well, and you know, it's the evidence continues to mount up, right? And mm-hmm. I've been really, really thrilled. My favorite was an 80-year-old woman who wrote me a letter saying that she's been a Republican all of her life and she was never going to vote for George Bush again as a result of looking at my video. Like I said, I think that this video gives people a place to stand. It lets them get rooted and gives them the strength to then confront the evidence on September 11th, which also continues to pile up, right? I mean, the Silverstein interview on PBS, I think, is one of the more recent, really, really powerful pieces of the puzzle and chunks of the scandal that
Now, well, I think for the listeners out there who don't know where Silverstein is, the fellow who actually owned, or at least the Twin Towers and all of the World Trade Center complex, and taken out a massive insurance policy on that. And of course, the question comes up: why did Building 7 go down? It was a block and a half away from the Twin Towers, and of course, Silverstein is on television. We've got the footage where he says, "Oh, well, I told the fire department to go ahead and pull the building." By pulling the building, they're talking about taking it down, and very shortly thereafter, there's a planned demolition. Gee, why would you take down a building just because it was on fire, and how would you get those explosives in there? Well, of course, was it planned ahead of time? That's a fascinating bit. Hey, John, we're out of time. Thank you so very much for being with us. Been a real pleasure.
Thank you so awfully much for having me.
I hope maybe we can get you on some of our other programs. Are you game?
Very much.
God bless. Thanks
so
much.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention a couple of the other items that we carry here at Radio Liberty. We carry an excellent shortwave radio. It's a Sanzian 505, and of course it's got shortwave, and it's got AM and FM, and it's digital. It comes with a 25-foot aerial in a carrying case, and it really does a great job of helping you to be able to pull in our shortwave programs if you are out across America. And, of course, the key to any shortwave reception is a good aerial, and there is a 25-foot aerial there that you just plug in, wrap around the room and plug it into your shortwave, and then you should be able to hear as most places across America. And so that's the Sanzian 505. You can see pictures of it up on our website at RadioLiberty.com, and we certainly encourage you to seriously consider getting a Sanzian 505, a great Christmas present. And then, of course, we also carry the Robinson Home School Curriculum. And this is a program that will take your children or your grandchildren from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. Now, the way it's done is, of course, it's on 22 CDs, and they include a 1911 British Encyclopedia Britannica, and, of course, the dictionaries and all sorts of wonderful things on this CD set. But the significant thing about it is that the lesson plans are there, the tests are there, the answers to the tests, and all you really have to do is get your child really encouraged to start reading and studying. The child does not get onto the computer. You don't want them on the computer. You want them reading. You want them reading good books. You want them learning how to read and write. And it's all there in this wonderful program. Dr. Robinson used it for his children. The Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, $199.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you love your children, get them out of government schools. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you out there and the listening audience to help us. If you believe in what we're trying to do, we're trying to make the American people realize that we're involved in a spiritual battle, and behind all of these things we talk about are dark spiritual forces that work within secret societies. We've got 3 million Masons in the United States. We've got thousands of members of the Skull and Bone Society, probably, I guess, 800 to 1,000 members living at the present time. And these people have sworn strange and horrible oaths to these demonic forces that we oppose. We have, of course, the Theosophists and the Rosicrucians. We have the Council on Foreign Relations, although not a secret society. It has its origin in the occult. And, of course, the leadership knows what it's all about. What's it about? A one-world government and a new world religion. Well, to get into the background of what we were talking about today, we have a great four-tape set. It's called the JFK Assassination. And then, of course, we have a JFK Assassination update. We'll actually hear my interview with Madeline Duncan Brown, who is the mistress for Lyndon Johnson, and we actually carry her book. I think it's Sunrise in Texas or something of the sort. Anyway, if you're that may not be the exact title, but you can always call in and ask for it. Or the interview with her where she tells about being at a dinner party the evening before where they had the meeting where they planned the assassination. And, of course, she knows who went into the meeting. She doesn't know what was said. But when Lyndon Johnson came out of the meeting, he went over to her and whispered in her ear, "Well, those Kennedys are never going to bother me again after tomorrow." And that, of course, was the evening of the 21st of November. Fascinating to know who was there, and once you know who was at the meeting, you understand how they got away with it. Other sorts of fascinating material. Our first tape set has an interview with Dr. Crenshaw, who was the doctor on call, surgeon on call, at the Parkland Hospital when they brought in President Kennedy, when they brought in Governor Connally, when they brought in Lee Harvey Oswald. The information is all there. And, of course, you'll be fascinated by our two four-tape sets. We have a great book called A Sniper Looks at Dealey Plaza by Craig Roberts. We have the book Regicide, supposedly written based upon the papers of the CIA official who actually planned the assassination. That's called Regicide, and you can get the books, you can get the four-tape set. You can get our JFK special. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get the JFK special, it's certainly a four-tape set and a book. And you can get the book Regicide if you'd rather get that, that the sniper looks at Dealey Plaza, why we can just substitute that for you. You need to have the facts. You need to hear with your own ears of the two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was immortalized in Oliver Stone's film, JFK, but he was actually the liaison between the Defense Department, between the Pentagon, and the CIA. And he will tell you that there is no question that this was a government assassination. They simply killed the king and replaced him with a man that they could control, who was Lyndon Baines Johnson. And whether you like Kennedy or not, the important thing is he had a strong will, and he didn't want to go along with their agenda. He did not want to get us involved in Vietnam. He did not believe government should be assassinating people, and he saw what was happening. And he wasn't part of the establishment, and, of course, he was much better as a dead martyr than as a living president. And they were able to get through all of his policies enacted under Lyndon Johnson. They never could have gotten enacted under, of course, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and they were able to get us into the Vietnam War and kill 58,000 American boys in a war we never tried to win. You need to get, of course, the video and the book we have, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, going into how we created the German Nazi movement, how we financed the German Nazi movement, how we financed the North Vietnamese during the Second World War. Pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the very front lines of this battle. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you. And remember, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America truly is at war today.